know, that's not what charity is. Charity is giving something to somebody in a sacrificial way and rejoicing that you're able to do it. When our Lord laid down his life, he was looking at the joy that was set before him.
Amen.
Anyway, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to start off in the 31st verse. Don't know exactly where we're going with this. I feel led to go this way this morning. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, it says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." Rahab is probably one of my favorite characters in the Bible. The reason she's my favorite character is, to me, she's the epitome of what grace is. Yeah. Even here, whenever Paul refers to her, he says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab." She bears that title because of what she used to be. By faith, the harlot Rahab. And not going to get too much into defining harlot, but she was a prostitute. And we need to understand that. It says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab." And the reason to me that the harlot Rahab is a beautiful picture, is the epitome of what grace is, because I want you to understand, in the book of Hebrews, Paul is referring to 4,000 years of humanity, of children of God that had lived on the earth, about 4,000 roughly, about 4,000 years, and he mentions 18 people that had a great faith.
Yeah.
And one of them was a prostitute. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And not only was one of them a prostitute, she was a Gentile. I haven't gone back and tried to see how many of these folks that he mentioned were Gentiles. Of course, the ones before Jacob were Gentiles, if you will. But she was a Gentile, and she was a prostitute. But nevertheless, Paul talks about her faith. And the reason she's the epitome of grace to me is because whenever we first see her on the scene over in Joshua, the book of Joshua, we see her as Rahab the harlot. I mean, brothers and sisters, if we're starting to constitute a church, are we going to, you know, do we think about a bunch of prostitutes constituting our church? I mean, is that, I mean, Paul tells us not to accompany, not to eat the communion bread and drink the communion wine with fornicators. Well, we know what prostitutes do. She's not even fit to be a church member whenever we see her coming on the scene. But I want to tell you, we find something about her later on in Scripture. The last time we see about her, Paul refers to her as a woman having great faith. And also we see in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, we see that she is the mother of Boaz.
Yep.
Y'all remember the book of Ruth? Ruth's husband was Boaz. She's the mother of Boaz. Boaz is the father of Obed. Obed is the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. And David is the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of who? Jesus Christ.
Right.
So, brothers and sisters, we see this one that whenever we first see her in the book of Joshua, she's referred to as a harlot. But I'm going to tell you, she is blessed to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And not only is she blessed to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ, she's blessed to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The reason Rahab the harlot is the epitome of grace to me is because, brothers and sisters, the thing about us and the thing about grace and the thing about our salvation, it ain't about where you started. It's about where you're ending.
Amen.
And I want you to understand, she started as a whore. She started as a harlot. Every one of us, because of our nature in Adam, we started in the same black, horrible, sinful place.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, we all are capable by our nature to do horrible things.
Yep.
I remember whenever the Lord first touched me and I started And I quit my job as a bouncer and a bartender in New Orleans and moved back to Vidalia, Louisiana. And the only job I could find was working in a prison because I didn't have no education, as we say. And one of the most humbling things to me was to be working with these people who had done egregious and horrible things. And at the same time, the Lord is showing me what a great sinner I am. And I'm reading the Word of God. And I have to look at these people and I have to say, yes, that's horrible, but I'm capable of doing that.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, the reason that Rahab the harlot is a picture of grace to me is because when we first see her, we see the depravity of sin. And I'm going to tell you, because of what Adam did, whenever you and I were conceived into this world, after conception, I'm going to tell you what, all of us, all that we had, all together from top to bottom, all that we ever possessed was just sin, sin, sin.
Right.
But sometime between conception and death, the Lord chose to put His Spirit within us. And that's why we're here today, is because we have a new creature within us and we want to seek after the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, the very fact that it says in the 31st verse of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. You know what that teaches me? That she was born of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, the world will tell you that you have to believe or you have to understand to get faith. But the Bible will tell you that you have to... That you have to have faith to believe or to understand. Go with me over to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Well, we'll go to verse 3. Through faith, we understand.
Yep.
Through faith, whenever you're talking about any spiritual thing, whether it's the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, whether it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whether it's whatever it is that's spiritual that you can't see, whether there's a God in heaven, whether Jesus Christ is sitting as our daysman on the right hand of the side of God, whatever it may be, whatever spiritual thing it is, for you to understand it, it's because of the third verse. Through faith, we understand.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The only way that somebody can believe in creation is if they have faith. The only way that somebody can have faith is if they've been born of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, you show me somebody who believes that God spoke this world into existence, I'll show you a child of God. You show me somebody who believes that Jesus Christ died for our sins, I'll show you a child of God.
Amen.
You show me somebody who believes in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, I'll show you a child of God, because the only way that you can believe those things is if you have faith, and the only people who have faith are born again children of God.
Amen.
So whenever it says here, over in Hebrews 11 and 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, what it is telling us here in the 31st verse, that Rahab was a born again child of God.
Amen.
Do you think she got faith because she was a harlot? Do you think she got faith because she was a prostitute? Do you think she got faith because she was part of the Gentile nation that God was about to abolish? You know why she got faith? The same reason you and I got faith.
Amen.
God gave it to her.
Right.
Faith is a gift of God. I'm going to tell you, you look at her life, there's nothing that she did good for her to receive faith. But I'm going to tell you, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we got to understand that. And you know what? We need to look at God's people as Rahabs.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, we need to be looking at God's people the way that God looks at us, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And whenever we deal with people every day, Brother Paul, this is a condemnation sermon to me. I don't care if I go to work, if you and I work together and you persecute me and you revile me every day? Every day whenever I come to work, I need to be looking at you as perhaps maybe you're a Rahab today.
Yeah.
Oh, all those other days, you were black, you were vile, you were a harlot, you persecuted me. But today I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you hoping I can see some fruit in there, that I'll be able to look at you through the blood of Christ and not look back at what you said to me yesterday, not look back at where you were yesterday, but look at where you're going. Because I want to tell you, every one of us, you see somebody with faith, you see somebody with love, you see somebody with joy, I'm going to tell you, you better get used to them now, because you're going to be with them in heaven for eternity.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to tell you, we need to help God's people. We need to help the little Rahabs of this world. People who maybe didn't begin in really good places. I'm going to tell you, another one of my favorite characters in the Bible is a man named Jephthah. Judges chapter 11. He was a deliverer of God's people. He was the deliverer of the Jews. But you know what it says about Jephthah? It says his mother was a harlot.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's so many people get bogged down in this world of where they came from.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, my grandmother and my grandfather owned a house of ill repute. My father raised me to hate God. If anybody had an excuse not to do the right thing, I would have one. I don't care where you're from. I don't care if you didn't get enough bones in your life. I'm going to tell you, we have the gospel, we have grace, we have the Bible telling us what to do, and I'm going to tell you, we need to quit looking back at where we came from, and we need to set our eyes on the mark of the high calling, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And also, at the same time, we don't need to look at people and say, oh, they came from this family, they're no good. Because if that was the case, you would look at me and say, I'm no good. One day people would tell me, they say, you know, whenever you're looking for a spouse, you got to make sure the family's good because you're marrying the whole family. I said, no, I'm not. I'm marrying a woman. If that was the case, only people from good families would marry people from good families. I mean, does that even make sense? I understand what they're saying, because in a part, you've got to be connected. But that don't make sense. I'm going to hold something. I see the love of my life, but because of where she came from? I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, Jephthah's mama was a harlot, but he was a great deliverer to the kingdom of Israel. Rahab, she was a harlot. But I'm going to tell you, she is one of 18 people out of 4,000 years of human beings existing. Whenever Paul writes the book of Hebrews and talks about people with great faith, he mentions 18 people from 4,000 years of people living on this earth, and one of them is Rahab the harlot.
Wow.
I wish I could make you feel what I feel about this. She started off as vileness. She started off as the lowest of lows. But then, in the book of Hebrews, she's mentioned as having great faith. But you know why? She's mentioned as having great faith? Not just because she had it, but she used it. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people in this world that's got faith, but we don't use it. And you know what she did? She forsook her entire nation because her belief in God. Whenever those spies came, some of y'all may not be there yet, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Whenever I first started coming to church, I remember the preacher would be preaching, and I hadn't read the Bible yet. I was in process of it. And if you haven't read the Bible, you need to get in the process of it.
Amen.
The most important thing that we have is our belief in God. We need to be serious about that. We need to know why we believe what we believe. But I remember I was studying the Word, and the preacher was preaching one day, and he said, and we all know what happened over Numbers 13 and 12 and 13. I'm like, I don't. Please tell me. So I want to catch us up if you don't know what I'm talking about with Joshua and Rahab. The children of Israel had been in the wilderness for 40 years because of their disobedience. God said, I just brought you through the Red Sea. I just brought you out of Egypt. Now you go and take Canaan's land. And they said, it's too hard. I'm going to tell you, I've heard that a lot as a pastor, and not a lot, but if you hear it's one time too many. Whenever people say, that's what the Word of God says, but it's too hard. You see, the Lord told them, He said, you go and you take this land that floweth with milk and honey. And they said, surely it is a land that floweth with milk and honey, but there's giants over there. Brother, I'm good. They said, there's giants over there, and we can't take it. But Joshua and Caleb said, if it delights in the Lord, if it's the Lord's will that we have it, we'll take it. Brothers and sisters, there's been times where people would come to me for counsel. And they would say, I'm having problems with this person. I'm having problems with that person. And I'll open up the Bible and I'll read Matthew 18. And I'll say, have you went and talked to them? And they say, no, Brother Danny, there's no use. They won't listen. You're telling me that what Jesus said, you know better than what Jesus said. Brothers and sisters, if you ever have a problem with a brother or sister in the Church of Jesus Christ, before you tell anybody else about it, you know you need to go tell them and them alone. And if they don't hear you, you take two or three with you. And if they don't hear them, then you bring it before the church. Right. And I'm going to tell you, that's the truth. If you haven't done that, nobody in the church should know about it. And I've had people, they want me to fix the problem. They want me to go and talk to the people. I'm like, that is your responsibility. The Lord says, that's what you're supposed to do. And they'll say, but then it's too hard. And even if it wasn't too hard, they wouldn't hear me. I'm going to tell you, there's been times where I've done the Word of God because the Word of God said to do it, and I just knew it wasn't going to work out. But guess what? It worked out.
Right.
You know why? Because I walked by faith.
Right.
I did what God told me to do. And I'm going to tell you, whenever they looked at the giants, they said, we can't do it. They were looking at the problems. They were looking at the obstacles. Look, guess what? If you don't want to do something, there's always going to be an obstacle.
Amen.
There's always going to be an excuse not to obey God. We need to train ourselves. The Lord says, do it. Do it. So now they walked through the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years they walked through the wilderness. And now Moses has died. And now they're about to go take. Now they're finally getting into Canaan's land. And the first town, the first city they're going to overthrow is Jericho. And Joshua sends two spies out. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Paul, you know as well as I do, whether Joshua sent those two spies out or not, they were still going to take Jericho.
Yeah.
I think that was a providence of God for that little sister Rahab. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord said they sent those two spies out to Jericho, and they spied out Jericho, and Jericho's king found out that those two spies were searching out Jericho, and those spies go to Rahab's house. The king sends to Rahab's house and says, bring me the men. And she said, two men did come to me, but they left. And she hid the two men. She hid the two spies that spied out Jericho. She hid them on the roof of her house. And then whenever they're about to leave, she says, make a covenant with me. I was kind to you. Be kind to me. Spare my house. She said, we've heard about you. And this is amazing to me. This is 40 years after the Lord has brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea. And Rahab says, we've heard about you. We heard what the Lord did for you. And our hearts melted. We know, I know that God has given you the land. What is so remarkable about that to me is the very people who walked across the Red Sea by the power of God, less than a year after that happened to them, they didn't believe it when God said, go and take the land.
Right.
But this woman, 40 years later, who never even seen the Red Sea, who never even seen the plagues and the miracles in Egypt, she had more belief and what God was going to do than the very people that God led across the Red Sea.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I'll be at work and I'll see people who don't believe in the beautiful, glorious gospel that you and I believe in. They believe in a Jesus. They believe in a way. They believe that they could fall away and bust hell wide open one day if they don't get everything to a jot and a tittle. But I'm going to tell you, their faith in God's natural promises, their faith in God's here and now promises, makes mine look like a little minute pebble. You know, just because you may not be a member of the Old Baptist Church, it doesn't mean that you don't have faith, and it doesn't mean that the Lord don't work with you. Well, look what it says here. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. You know why she didn't perish? Because she believed that God had given the land over to the children of Israel. And she made a covenant with the children of Israel. And everybody who came into her house and gathered into her house on the day that the children of Israel took Jericho, they would be spared. Every one of her family members that were gathered into her house on the day that the children of Israel took Jericho would be spared. And the way that the children of Israel took Jericho, and we won't get into all this, but we'll just say on the seventh day, they walked around Jericho seven times. They gave a great shout, and the walls fell down. And I'm going to tell you, Jericho was ripe for the picking.
Yeah.
And they just went in there and they demolished Jericho. But there was a scarlet thread. There was a red line that hung out of the window of Rahab. And it marked where her and her family was.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, there's a red line, the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
That marks the family of God. And it keeps us from being demolished by the wrath of God.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, whenever they seen that red line, it kept them from killing anybody who was in the household where that red line was. And I want you to understand, what Rahab did that day saved her house.
Yeah, right.
Brothers and sisters, what you do in your life as a father and as a mother, it can either lead your house to destruction or it can save your house.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, does the Word of God mean something to you? You need to read it to your children. I'm going to tell you, does the house of God mean something to you? You need to make sure your family is in the house of God.
Amen.
What we do can save or destroy our house. Another reason that Rahab perished not, she left Jericho.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people who are little Rahabs, who have the faith of God within them, who were God's people, who were chosen before the foundation of the world, who don't want to leave Jericho.
Right. Right.
They don't want to leave the alcohol. They don't want to leave the gluttony. They don't want to leave the drugs. They don't want to leave the fornication. They don't want to leave the ways of this world, which is pleasing to the flesh.
Right.
I want you to understand, she left her whole world.
Right.
All she ever knew since a child, the only city she ever lived in, it was a walled fortress, if you will.
Yeah.
And she left it because she obeyed God. What part of Jericho are you hanging on to?
Right.
I want to tell you, go with me over to 1 Corinthians 6 real quick. Over in the ninth verse. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's talking about the church kingdom. It's talking about the spiritual kingdom that we live in today. Be not deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of mankind, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you, sometimes, brothers and sisters, as a minister, I have the lot in life to be around people who know the truth and have departed from the truth. I have the lot in life to be around people who know what you and I rejoice in, but they loved it for alcohol, they loved it for idolatry, they loved it for fornication, they loved it for homosexuality, if you will. They loved it for something. And you know what they are? They're bitter. Every problem they ever had, they blame it on somebody else.
Right.
They're bitter. You know what we find in the house of God? You know what we find walking in the kingdom of God, trying to press in the kingdom of God? We find peace.
Yeah.
We find joy.
Amen.
We find comfort. If you're not walking in that and you depart from that way, you know what you're going to find? Anxiety.
Yeah.
Bitterness. Broken heart. Lost mind. There's a lot of people that don't understand why they don't have peace and they're not letting go of Jericho.
Right. Amen.
If you're a little Rahab and you feel God within your heart and you're feeling Him to tell you to believe in His promises and just to let go of Jericho, you're not going to have peace in this world until you let go of Jericho. And I have to say this real quick too. Look what it says. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters. By the way, the Bible says covetousness is idolatry.
Yep.
Nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that means sodomites. That's what that's talking about. Nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. And by the way, I'll hit on the drunkard part real quick. People always, because I'm in the medical field and I'm also a preacher, and they always want to know my take on on recreational marijuana. I said, my take on recreational marijuana is my take on drinking. I want to tell you, recreational marijuana is a sin. You do anything to get inebriated, that's a sin. You drink to get drunk, that's a sin.
Yeah.
You want to have a glass of wine for your stomach or for your blood pressure or to help you go to sleep, that's not a sin. But you drink to get drunk, you're sinning.
Amen.
You smoke a joint to get high, you're sinning. And by the way, you smoke a joint, you're getting high. Okay? I mean, I'm just letting you know that. But yeah, there are some things we use as medicinal purposes. But I'm going to tell you what, if you do something to get inebriated, that's sin.
Right. Amen.
The Bible says to be sober-minded. Brother, I was listening to a Christian radio station one time, and they said, you know, there's just some things that the Bible does not address that we deal with today, and we just, you know, that's what this radio station is for, is to help you address the things that the Bible doesn't address, but you're Christians, you still want to live a godly life. And then their example was, the Bible doesn't address crack cocaine. Really? The Bible says to be sober-minded. You ever seen a crackhead? They are not sober-minded. Okay? And they said, the Bible does not address pornography. Really?
Yes, it does.
The Bible says flee from fornication. If I'm putting in a DVD or a tape or pulling up a site on my phone, I am not fleeing fornication. I'm bringing it to my eyeballs.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, the Bible addresses so many things. A lot of times we just don't want to admit that it addresses it.
Amen.
But I got to get this. Look what it says here. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. A lot of times that's where we end. This is talking about, you're not going to enjoy the church kingdom if you partake of these things. But look what the 11th verse says.
Yes, sir.
And such were some of you.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what this is saying. You were a little Rahab in your idolatry. You were a little Rahab in your adultery. You were a little Rahab in your drunkenness. You were a little Rahab in your homosexuality. You were a little Rahab in this extortioning that you were doing. And such were some of you. But you let go of them. You left Jericho. And now you're embracing and enjoying and living in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen.
I tell you, people will ask me, say, Brother, how about homosexuality? I call it sodomy. I call it sodomites. That's what the Bible refers to it. They'll say, how about that? Were they born that way? I say, yeah. They were born a sinner. They sure were. I'm going to tell you, just because you have a propensity or just because you have a liking for a particular sin does not excuse you to commit that sin.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if Lydia came home one day and I had about five women with me, and she'd be like, what are you doing? I'd be like, baby, I was born this way. You think that's going to... You think she's going to be, oh, bless your heart, I'm sorry.
No.
No.
Just because you like a sin does not mean it's okay to commit it.
Amen.
Sin is fun. Anybody tell you otherwise, they're lying to you. But you know what it is? It's the pleasures of sin for a season.
Right.
That stuff breeds destruction.
Yes.
It breeds death.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, if I read any of those and you're a part of that, which we all are in some way, next time you read it, I want it to really be, and such were some of you.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, brothers, there's not a sin that you can't repent from.
Amen.
Seriously, I want the prostitutes to repent and join the church of God.
Yes,
I want the drug addicts to rehabilitate.
Amen.
I want people who commit sin to quit sin. I want God's people who don't see the truth, I want them to see the truth. I want us to understand we're all little Rahabs and we need to help each other out.
Yeah, right.
Go me over to Luke chapter 7. Over in Luke chapter 7. In the 36th verse.
Yes, sir.
It says, and one of the Pharisees desired him being Jesus, that he would eat with him, that Jesus would come in and eat with the Pharisee. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. By the way, we're all sinners, but whenever it says that somebody, which was a sinner, it's talking about everybody knew the manner of life that this individual had.
Right.
And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, by the way, this is kind of the reason I bring this up, this part right here. Even though the Bible calls Rahab a harlot, I don't know anybody who believes she stayed that way.
Right.
And we find that she left Jericho and she dwelt in the land of Israel until the day of her death. And we find that she married a man named Salmon and she had a son named Boaz. Do you think it would have been right to constantly go to her house and bring up what she used to do? Oh, you're that girl from Jericho. Oh, I remember how you used to make money. You see, that's what this man is doing here. This woman, which is known to be a sinner, guess what? Right now, she ain't sinning.
Right.
Right now, she's at the feet of Jesus.
Right
now, she has repented.
Right.
But he ain't looking at where she is right now. He's looking at where she used to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, he is like the brother who stayed over in Luke 15 with the prodigal son. Remember, that brother, he was mad whenever the prodigal son came back and everybody rejoiced because he was looking at where his brother used to be. I'm going to tell you, for a church to really be a church and for repentance to really work in the house of God and for us to really rejoice and for us to really act and forgiveness to really be real, we got to forget about where people used to be and rejoice about where they are.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, that's not only in the church, that's in marriages, that's in families. I'm going to tell you, I know families that will not get past what their family member did 20 or 30 years ago. And that person is a totally different person. And they're trying to serve the Lord the best they can. But their family keeps on bringing up what they did years and years and years ago. I'm going to tell you what they're saying is, you used to live in Jericho, and we're going to treat you like you're still living in Jericho.
Right.
You get it? Do you get the point?
Yeah.
We're all Rahabs. We all have a Jericho. Some of us left it when we were in our mother's womb, like John the Baptist. Some of us left it on the road to Damascus. And some of us left it on that cross,
right
next to the Lord.
Right.
But we all have a past. Somewhere, we all got sins. And I'm going to tell you over in Psalm 130, it says, Lord, if you mark iniquities, who shall stand?
Nope.
Nobody.
That's right.
So if the Lord's not marking iniquities, why should we?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you know what will ruin a marriage? If we don't forget what we did to each other.
That's right.
If we don't forget what we said to each other.
Amen.
You know what will ruin a church relationship? If we don't forget what we did to each other.
Right.
If we don't forget what we said to each other. I'm going to tell you, you know what will ruin you from being a forgiven person? If you don't forgive what somebody did to you, and if you don't forget what somebody said to you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I want us to all look at that stuff as that was Jericho. Perhaps that's a Rahab. And today she's walking or he's walking with the people of God. But look here.
Amen.
Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Woo! Come on now. And he saith, Master, say on. I mean, I can just see old Pharisee Simon here like, yeah, Lord, commend me. Give me my crown. And he says, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, which is 2 years' salary.
Yep.
And the other 50, which is 50 days' labor. You get that in about 9 weeks. Because you get the weekends off, right? And it says, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged.
Yeah, that's right.
And he turned to the woman and said unto him, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil that thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. I'm going to tell you, some of the most faithful disciples I know were people that you wouldn't want to touch with a 10-foot pole before they came to the church of God. What I mean by that, people that you just would look at and say, that's a sinner. But Jesus says here, you haven't washed my feet, but she's kissed my feet.
Yeah.
You haven't anointed my head with oil, but she's anointed my feet with ointment. I'm going to tell you, you may think she's a big old sinner, But she knows she is, and she knows she's forgiven. And because she knows she's been forgiven of so many sins, she loves a lot. Yeah. You don't think you're a very big sinner. So therefore, you don't love a lot. And I want to tell you, we need to view all of ourselves. There's nobody in here that should view ourselves as a Simon. We all should view ourselves as that little sinner at the feet of Jesus.
Right.
Because guess what? If you were the only person that was going to heaven, and you say, Brother Danny, I'm not a prostitute. Brother Danny, I've never gotten drunk. Brother Danny, I've never committed fornication. But you still know you're a sinner, right? And you were the only person that God chose to go to heaven. You know Jesus would have still had to suffer on the cross for you?
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So we all should love the Lord the most. We all should realize if He wouldn't have died, we wouldn't be able to worship today. If He wouldn't have died, we wouldn't be able to pray to Him. If He wouldn't have died, we wouldn't be able to sing to Him. If He wouldn't have died, He wouldn't be able to hear our prayers. And if He wouldn't have died, we wouldn't be able to go to heaven one day. And I'm going to tell you, we all need to view ourselves as little Rahabs. And I'm going to tell you, I hope that in some way Rahab will be one of your favorite Bible characters, because you'll understand, whenever we first meet Rahab, whenever she first comes on the scene, you see her in her vileness.
Yeah.
But later on in the Bible, over in the book of Hebrews, and over in the book of James, it praises her for her faith. And she's even one of the great, 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 great grandmothers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right.
That scarlet thread that runs to our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to get this. I want you to understand the reason that Rahab is so special to me. It's not about where you began, but it's about where you're going.
Yeah.
Right? It's not about that you were in Jericho. It's that you're going to be in heaven one day. And the fact that you have faith and you're walking by faith is a very evidence that you're going to be with the Lord one day.
Amen.
And let us not, brothers and sisters, keep looking at people's Jerichos. Let us not keep looking at people and say what they used to do. Let us just be thankful that they're with us today.
Yeah.
Amen. I tell you, Brother Lonnie Mazingo Sr. said this one time. I'll never forget it. Last time I ever heard him preach. I think it was one of the last sermons he ever preached. He was talking about over in Luke 15. Whenever the shepherd had lost a little sheep. And he brought that little sheep back into the fold on his shoulder. He said, that little sheep had went astray. He wasn't with the fold anymore. So obviously he wasn't doing what you do within the fold, right? He wasn't living that church life. I'm paraphrasing. He wasn't living that church life whenever he was out lost in the world. But the Lord Jesus, the shepherd, put that little sheep on his shoulder, and he brought that little sheep back into the flock. And he said, anytime you act like that older brother with the prodigal son, and you try to look at what people used to do, and not what they're doing right now, you're trying to knock a little sheep off the shepherd's shoulder. Because I want you to understand, anybody who comes back to the house of God, anybody who repents of their sins, is because the Lord has put it within their heart and has caused them to approach unto the house of God. And don't get me wrong, I believe in repentance. If somebody's fornicating, you can't receive them into the church until they quit fornicating. Somebody's being a drunkard, you can't receive them into the church until they quit being a drunkard. But I'm going to tell you, whenever they quit that stuff, don't keep bringing it up to them. You just let them rejoice and eat and feed and rejoice in the house of God.
Amen.
Because you know what the Bible says? It says, whenever something like that happens, there is rejoicing in the presence of God in heaven itself. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says every time a sinner repents, that there is rejoicing in heaven's pure world. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that my mama and daddy and auntie and uncle are looking down at me, but God's looking down at me.
Right.
The angels are looking down at me. And I'm going to tell you, every time I succeed with a diet, every time I put down the brownie and pick up the carrot, heaven rejoices. Every time an alcoholic puts down the Bible, puts down the Bible, puts down the of a bottle of water, I'm going to tell you, heaven rejoices.
Yeah.
Every time somebody quits shacking up, I'm going to tell you, heaven rejoices.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, because to really to be a Rahab, you got to leave Jericho.
Right.
I hope y'all understand this message. I love you and God bless you.
Amen.
Lord, I bless you, brother. Enjoy that.